Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, he took in his hand bread, and he said, "This is my body given for you. Take it, eat it, for the forgiveness of sins." He took a cup a little later, a cup filled with wine in his hands, and he said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." What was Jesus saying on that night when he was betrayed? What did he mean of this bread and this wine? When you're in church on Sunday morning and the pastor holds bread in his hand and he speaks those words of Christ, what is he holding in his hand? What does he put in your mouth? When he puts the cup to your lips, what is he giving you to drink? Well, Jesus' words answer that question, those questions. We also, in the course of this hour of Issues, Etc., will be answering those questions in the form of a hymn. The hymn is called, "What is This Bread?" It's a Lord's Supper hymn. Dr. Fred Bowie, the author of that hymn, joins us here in Studio A, along with the adult choir of St. Paul Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri, a suburb here of St. Louis. We'll be answering those questions. We are coming to you live on this All Saints Sunday, November the 2nd. If you have a question or a comment on the Lord's Supper, give us a call, 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or if you prefer, you can post your question or your comment on our Issues Etc. forum. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section, and there you will find the Issues Etc. forum waiting for your questions and your comments as we talk about the Lord's Supper and the Lord's Supper hymn, "What Is This Bread?" Dr. Fred Bowie is a regular guest here on Issues Etc. He's senior editor of Church Resource Development for Concordia Publishing House and author of this hymn, "What Is This Bread?" Fritz, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd. Great to be with you again.
We're going to be talking quite a bit about the Lord's Supper tonight, and we need to clear up a few questions about the Lord's Supper from Holy Scripture before we begin. The first, and I think the most important question is, who is doing this? Is this man's work, or is this God's work, the Lord's Supper?
Well, if it was man's work, we would have made it up, but we didn't. It's something that was instituted by God through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It was he himself who took the bread, took the Passover Seder meal that had been instituted in the Hebrew religion from the time of the Passover, the Exodus out of Egypt, and he took that and invested it with his word, his salvation. So the Lord's Supper is something that God does for us and carries with it everything that is promised in his word of salvation. It brings life and salvation and the forgiveness of sins. The Lord's Supper is a sacrament of the church. It's something in which God comes to us.
I want you to expand on that a little bit, because Jesus says in those words, "This is my body, this is my blood, for you, for the forgiveness of sins." What are the benefits? What does Jesus promise that he gives along with his body and blood in the Lord's Supper?
Well, his body and his blood died for us on the cross and rose again from the dead on the third day. And therefore, when he comes to us in his body and blood in the sacrament, he does and gives to us everything that he does for us on the cross and in the resurrection, bodily and with his flesh and blood. Therefore, when we believe in Jesus Christ, we have faith in him, we have salvation and everlasting life. That's the same thing that the sacrament of the altar does for us, as well as the sacrament of holy baptism.
Now, you've used the term several times here already in just the few minutes we've been talking, the bodily presence,
yes,
of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Someone looks at those words and they say, well, you know, I could take them figuratively. When Jesus says, "This is my body, this is my blood," I could take them to mean this represents. In fact, there are a fair number of Christians who do precisely that. How do you defend from Scripture interpreting or reading Jesus' words as literally true? This is my body, this is my blood.
Well, it's a basic lesson in Greek grammar. The words that Jesus used in the Greek are "houtos tosoma mou," this is my body. And normally in Greek grammar, you would say hutos tosomamu, this my body. The verb to be is typically understood in a normal sentence, but when you want to say something for emphasis, you put in the verb to be. So when Jesus says hutos estin tosomamu, he is really saying this very thing, this really, really, really is my body. He's really underscoring it for emphasis. It's unmistakable in the Greek. It really jumps out at you that Jesus literally is saying, this is really my body. This really is my blood.
Very briefly, Paul seems to read Jesus' words precisely that way, as meaning body and blood.
Yes, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 11, that's precisely where he comes down. This bread that we break, it's this loaf that we break, that's the body of Christ.
Someone listening is going to say, that sounds Roman Catholic. That sounds like what Rome teaches about the Lord's Supper. How do you distinguish this biblical teaching from what Rome teaches about the Lord's Supper?
Well, the Roman Catholic Church has a doctrine which they call transubstantiation, and that arose in a debate between two monks of the 13th century, I think it was Radbertus and Rotramnus, and there was a very philosophical, scholastic debate in the church about this, and the church eventually came out on the side of saying that in the sacrament of the altar, when the priest says the words of institution and rings the bell, the bread is changed into or transubstantiated into the body of Jesus Christ. What we see, the simple words of Scripture, presents us with an even greater mystery, that the bread is there, but the body is there in, with, and under the bread, and the blood is there in, with, and under the wine. So we have both of these things. We're not becoming super spiritual about this. It's, again, God comes down to earth in his Son, bodily and physically, and God comes down to us in this sacrament, and the bread and wine is there. We can taste, touch, and see that it is really visible, earthly, plain, ordinary elements that come from the soil, the grapes, the wheat. And so the entire thing communicates to us the grace of God in the most beautiful possible way.
So to summarize before we begin the first stanza, the Lord's Supper is literally the Lord's Supper. It is his work.
Yes, it is his work.
And thereby Jesus Christ delivers all the things that he purchased and won for us.
That's correct.
Life, forgiveness, salvation, with his body and blood at the cross. And he delivers them in this real body and blood, along with the bread and wine for us to eat and drink in faith.
That's it in a nutshell, yes. And as Luther said about some other passages in Scripture, the word is too strong for me. When you understand what the Bible says and you read it the way it's meant to be read, it's inescapable that this is the conclusion that you draw about the Lord's Supper.
Well, there are two ways to teach. We could talk about this all evening.
Let's sing about it.
We really could, but we can also, as the church often has, sing about this. The hymn that we're studying this evening, this Lord's Supper hymn, Dr. Fred Bowie is its author. The hymn is called, What is This Bread? The first stanza, What is this bread? Christ's body risen from the dead. This bread we break, this life we take, was crushed to pay for our release. O taste and see, the Lord is peace. That's stanza one of the hymn we're studying this evening, the Lord's Supper hymn, What is This Bread?, performed by the women of the adult choir of St. Paul Lutheran Church in DePere, Missouri. The men will join us a little later for the other stanzas. The first question that occurs to me, Fritz, is why this form, question and answer, in a Lord's Supper hymn?
Well, let me give you a little background about this. Gene and I were out in Tucson, Arizona in the 80s and 90s, and I got the call to start a mission congregation. And we got the church started. We began to have Holy Communion. We were having communion every week, and we wanted to have some kind of ongoing catechesis or instruction in the Lord's doctrine concerning this sacrament. And what we began doing was reading the questions and answers on the Lord's Supper from the Small Catechism, using Luther's Small Catechism. And he says, what is the sacrament of the altar? Where is this written? What is the benefit of this eating and drinking and so forth? And what we were doing, we were reciting these words from the catechism week by week. And it just got to be a lot of talky. So I set myself the task of just taking the questions and answers in the catechism and putting them into a kind of a poetic form. I'd been writing poetry and songs for many, many years, and that's how we came up with the question and answer form, just to put this in something that the congregation could sing rather than say.
Dr. Fred Bowie is our guest, senior editor for Church Resource Development at Concordia Publishing House, author of the hymn that we study in this hour of Issues, Etc. What is this bread? It's a Lord's Supper hymn. Feel free to join us at 1-800-730-2727, 1-800-730-2727, or post a question or a comment on our forum at issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You'll find the forum there. When we come back, a bit more on that first stanza. That's a bold statement. What is this bread? Christ's body risen from the dead. We'll get some explanation of that when we come back, and here are some other stanzas of this great Lord's Supper hymn, What is This Bread? 1-800-730-2727 or issuesetc.org. We'll be right back.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths into the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become a confessor, an apologist, or a reformer, check out page 8 of the latest Issues, Etc. journal, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, grace, faith, scripture, for the sake of Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, Etc., and you. You know, the Lord's Supper has been the subject of contemplation by theologians for centuries. There was one in the 17th century, Johann Gerhardt, who not only contemplated the Lord's Supper, he saw fit to give thanks to God in prayer for the Lord's Supper. This is something that the church has done on a regular basis. Just a few words from this 17th century Lutheran theologian. He writes, "From now on, I cannot doubt the forgiveness of sins, because it is affirmed by my partaking of the price that was offered for my sins, the very blood of Christ. From now on, I cannot doubt the indwelling of Christ, because it is sealed for me with the imparting of his body and his blood." That's from a prayer in our new Issues, Etc. book of the month for November, called Meditations on Divine Mercy by Johann Gerhardt. It's translated by our regular guest on Issues, Etc., Pastor Matt Harrison. You can order it by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You'll find information there on Meditations on Divine Mercy, issuesetc.org. Now, when you call or write, make sure you mention Issues, Etc. Our book of the month for November is Meditations on Divine Mercy, 1-800-325-3040. Fred, before we go on to stanza two of What is This Bread, a thought from Scripture on this first stanza.
Well, let me just read these words of St. Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Paul says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" I think that says it all.
So Paul is reading Jesus' words to say that, and he doesn't seem to quibble about how this can be. He simply hears the Lord's answer, "What is this bread?" It is Christ's very body risen from the
dead.
That's
correct. It's a mystery how that can be. But the greater mystery, I think, is how can God, whom heaven of heavens cannot contain, come down to earth and be incarnate as a human being? It can be, a fetus in a mother's womb, this small-celled organism. How can that be? How can God be contained in a human being that's so high and has such size shoes and eats and drinks and walks this earth like the rest of us? How can this be truly God? I mean, there's profound mysteries we're confronted with in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, but if that is valid, so is the sacrament that in which God comes to us in a physical element.
Stanza 2 of "What is this bread?" "What is this wine? The blood of Jesus shed for mine. The cup of grace brings his embrace of life and love until I sing, 'O taste and see, the Lord is King.'"
What is this wine? The blood of Jesus shed for mine.
Hearing that stanza, Fritz, I cannot help but be reminded of Paul's words, and you mentioned them before. The loaf we break, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The cup we share, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ?
Exactly. That's exactly what we have here. We have God who is coming to us in this simple, humble meal. A lot of people don't want to accept that and try to philosophize or explain it away with strange twists and jumps of logic. But God often reveals himself to us in the humble things that that don't mean very much to the people of the world. It's not very impressive what we do in this simple meal, but here is God. This is where he is present in the world. This is where he engages humanity with his real and true presence in this meal of bread and wine.
What of the words here in this second stanza, "The cup of grace brings his embrace"? What did you intend to say there?
Well, it's just simply this. By faith, we've been justified before God. He forgives all of our sins. He accepts us as we are. He declares us to be righteous. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He strengthens our faith in this sacrament, and he loves us as a dear father loves his dear children. That's what I meant there.
In stanza 3 of this Lord's Supper hymn, "What is this bread?" "So who am I that I should live and he should die under the rod? My God, my God, why have you not forsaken me? O taste and see, the Lord is free."
So who am I that I should live and he should die under the rod? My God, my God, forsaken me, taste and see, the Lord is free.
Stanza 3 of "What is this bread?" The Lord's Supper hymn that's the subject of our study here on Issues, Etc. this evening. That was performed by Jean Bowie. That's Fritz's wife, and she's also author of the tune of this hymn as well. With a few minutes left to us before we go to the bottom of the hour break, Fritz, What of this third stanza? You ask now a question, who am I? You've answered the questions, what is this bread, what is this wine? Why this question?
Well, I should have died for my sins. I should be punished forever in hell because my debt before God is so completely astronomical that I could never possibly pay it off, even by my own death. Even were I to die for my sins, I should have to suffer for that eternally in hell. And yet here I am this poor, miserable sinner that I am, and God sends his own son to die for me. It's just absolutely overwhelming. So I take the question rhetorically. What I'm doing here is just reversing things for poetic effect. And I take the question that Jesus asks on the cross, my God, my God, why have you forsaken me? From Psalm 22, verse 1, and I just reverse that. And for my own situation, why have you not forsaken me? I deserve to be forsaken by God, and yet I'm not. You know, God gives his son to die for me on the cross and comes to me in this sacrament with everything that he has.
We have but 1 minute before we go to this break. When I go to the Lord's Supper, this is the stanza that rings in my ears.
Because I get a lot of comment on this verse.
This is the stanza, who am I that I should live and he should die? But more than that, there is comfort in the answer to that question.
Oh, yes, there is. Right.
Right there in that Lord's Supper. Tell us about that.
Well, here he comes to us with his body and blood to forgive us all of our sins. All that Jesus does on the cross, he does for us in this sacrament in a very real way. And that's why I'm building toward that last verse where it says, picking up on Psalm 34, where it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. I apply that Old Testament verse from the Psalms to the Lord's Supper.
We're talking about the Lord's Supper hymn, What Is This Bread? Our guest, Dr. Fred Bowie, Senior Editor for Church Resource Development for Concordia Publishing House. He's authored this hymn. We're also joined by the Adult Choir of St. Paul Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri. That's a suburb of St. Louis. Just a reminder to our listeners in Nebraska, Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Gene Edward Veith, he's coming to a town near you. He's going to be in Nebraska later this month. He'll be speaking on Saturday, November the 22nd at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Eagle, Nebraska. That's Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Eagle, Nebraska. His topic for that talk, the vocation of citizenship, living in two kingdoms. This is a subject that is near and dear to Ed Veith's heart, and you'll be very gratified to hear him at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Eagle, Nebraska. For more information, check out our website, issuesetc.org. We'll be right back. True Christian prayer begins in the Word of God. As the Christian meditates upon both the commands and the promises of God's Word, he is moved to pray, to confess his sins, to seek the forgiveness that is in Christ alone, and through prayer to hold God to his promise of mercy for Christ's sake. Hi, I'm Todd Wilkin. Our Issues Etc. book of the month for November is called Meditations on Divine Mercy by Johann Gerhardt. It's translated by Pastor Matt Harrison. You can order Meditations on Divine Mercy by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section. You'll find more information on our Issues Etc. book of the month for November, Meditations on Divine Mercy.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm Todd Wilkin. We're joined by Pastor Matt Harrison, Executive Director of LCMS World Relief and translator for our Issues Etc. book of the month for November, Meditations on Divine Mercy by Johann Gerhardt. Matt, who is Johann Gerhardt?
Johann Gerhardt was a Christian, a teacher, a thinker, a theologian, a Lutheran theologian of the 17th century, the early 17th century. And behind Martin Luther, a lot of people say he is behind Luther and Martin Chemnitz, the third, after which there is no fourth. He was so significant in Protestantism in Europe in the 17th century.
So how can the writings of an early 17th century theologian be relevant today?
I think, you know, in this case, they're extremely relevant precisely because they're not from our time. You know as well as I do, Todd, that there's a rush for relevance everywhere today, and in that rush, the result is most often, quite often, a real triteness, a transitoriness of materials today, the latest fad. And I think the brilliance of the older writings is they pull us to really fundamentally important truths of the Christian faith that have been universally true since Christ himself.
So what's wrong with much of devotional material today?
I think there's a lot of good devotional material today. On the other hand, a lot of devotional material today is geared more toward making me feel good about myself and feel good about others instead of really digging deeper to the fundamental bases of the Christian faith, dealing in a really serious way with sin and my own carnal desires, dealing in a serious way with God's remedy and giving us the gospel full force. And I think that's what this great devotional work does.
You can order Meditations on Divine Mercy by calling Concordia Publishing House weekdays during regular business hours, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or visit our website, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section, and you'll find information on the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November, Meditations on Divine Mercy. When you call or write, mention Issues Etc., the book, Meditations on Divine Mercy, 1-800-325-3040, issuesetc.org. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll be discussing a history of the Mormon Church with Rich Abanas of the Religious Information Center. Now, Mormonism claims to be the historical fulfillment of true Christianity. Is this claim true? And have Mormons always told the truth about their own history? We'll answer those questions and talk about that next week on Issues Etc. with Rich Abanas. Now, if you'd like to know what we'll be discussing for the rest of November, check out our website, issuesetc.org. Oh, by the way, while you're there, be sure to read several articles that we have posted at our website on the Lord's Supper, issuesetc.org. The Lord's Supper is the subject of our hour's discussion here with Dr. Fred Bowie. We're doing it in hymnic form, stanza by stanza, a hymn he has authored called What Is This Bread? He's also senior editor of Church Resource Development for Concordia Publishing House. Fritz, here's the fourth stanza of the hymn. Yet is God here? Oh, yes, by word and promise clear, in mouth and soul he makes us whole, Christ truly present in this meal. O taste and see the Lord is real.
Yet is God here.
Stanza 4 of the Lord's Supper hymn, What Is This Bread? A lot of people, Fritz, would say, of course God is here on Sunday morning. God is here spiritually. But it sounds as though you're saying a little bit more on the basis of Scripture than simply, yes, God is omnipresent, he's everywhere. That's just kind of part of being God.
Well, sure. If God is omnipresent and we can find God anywhere we go, why do we have church? Why do we need pastors? Why do we need the Bible? You know, people say, oh, I can go out and meditate and have a good feeling about God while I'm on the golf course. But judging from the language I hear in the golf course, I don't think many people are having very religious experiences. But let me just read a verse of Scripture here. St. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, "The cup of blessing that we bless," he's talking about the wine of Holy Communion, "is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread." I mean, these are very clear words of Scripture, and they teach us that God is really and truly present in this meal. And I try to communicate that in this hymn.
So what does Paul then draw from that? For you were quoting there from Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe. What does he draw for that for the Christians who participate in this holy meal, if God indeed in the person of his Son Jesus Christ bodily and in his blood is present for them? What does that mean?
Well, we are communing with God, but we are communing together with one another before God. It's something that's not only individual, but there's a corporate aspect of it as well. It's expressed beautifully in the words that we're reminded of on this All Saints Sunday, when we say in the liturgy, "Together with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee," and sang, and we go on into the proper preface of the particular Sunday that we're celebrating. But many people have expressed the thought that it's very comforting for them to know that when they are receiving the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament of Holy Communion in this life, that they're also at the same time communing not only with the people that they're with in church, but all the Christians in the whole world that are receiving Holy Communion on that particular Sunday, but also with all the saints and all the angels that have gone before and who are in the church in glory in heavenly places. I mean, it's a really profound experience when you realize what's going on there. We can't hear the angels singing along with us, but we know from Scripture that they are.
Now, you answer the question, is God here? You say, yes, by word and promise, clear. Because when I hold the bread in my hand, I don't see a body. And when I taste the wine, I don't taste blood. My senses don't deliver what God's Word seems to say.
Yeah, well, again, it's one of those mysterious things that's beyond human logic to really explain. Don't ask me to explain it.
Well, I'm not asking you to explain it, but you're simply saying God's... Well, you quoted Luther before.
Well, it's...
God's word is
too strong for us. We have to take God's words at face value, and as we were talking about during the break, you know, there are some theologies which interpret the Bible completely backwards. They take the literal passages symbolically and the symbolic passages literally, and here we're having a very truthful, straightforward passage of Scripture where Jesus says, "This bread is my body, this cup is my blood." And that's what God is trying to communicate to us, because the word of God's promise is connected with this physical element, and that's what makes it a sacrament. You know, I eat bread, I drink wine, but I don't get forgiveness of sins when I go out to dinner at Balaban's. I take a shower in the morning, but it doesn't wash away my sins. But when God's Word is connected with it, as happened to me at Emmaus Lutheran Church in 1946 here in St. Louis, that water washed away all my sins because God's Word was connected with it. That's what makes it special. That's what makes it unique, is the action of God's Word. That's the active ingredient in these sacraments of the Church.
And that's why we could say at the beginning, this is God's work, because it is God's Word that is active here.
What the Word does, the sacrament does.
The fifth and final stanza of the Lord's Supper hymn, "What Is This Bread?" "Is this for me? I am forgiven and set free. I do believe that I receive this very body and his blood. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good."
Is this for me? I am forgiven and set free. I do believe that I receive his very body and his blood. See you.
Fritz, why this final question, the for me question?
Well, it comes straight out of Scripture here, and I think we may have read these words before, but let's refer to them again in Matthew chapter 26. As they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, and drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant," which he took the cup, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. And it's that for you aspect that is there. We saw that in the passage in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 earlier too. These are just the words of Scripture, because what Jesus does on the cross, he just didn't die on the cross. He died on the cross for me. He didn't just come into this world. He came into this world for me, for you, to communicate to us the forgiveness of sins tangibly and physically by his presence, by his death, by his resurrection, by the sacrament of baptism and Holy Communion. All this is for us, lost and condemned creatures as we are. Now we're saved in him, and that faith is confirmed and sealed in these sacraments.
We have a few minutes before we go to the break, and we will be hearing the entire hymn, "What is This Bread," in the last segment of our conversation tonight. But before we go to that break, our call-in number, 1-800-730-2727. Calling from Columbia, Missouri, listening on KMCV. Josh is on the line. Josh, thanks for waiting, and welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, hello. My question concerns your guest comment about the Greek text of the passage, "This is my body." He mentioned that earlier. I'm just wondering, would it be possible that there's a greater range of meaning for the word "is"? For example, Jesus, throughout the book of John, makes many identification statements, like, "I am the vine," or "I am the door." And I'm wondering how that would be different from, because obviously we don't take Jesus' words to be literal in that sense. You know, he's not the vine. But I was curious what your guest had to say about that.
Josh, thank you very much for your call. Fred, we've got about 2 minutes here before our break.
Well, the Bible does not contradict itself, and we really can't take a passage in John to disprove a passage in Matthew. We have to find where the Scriptures agree. In those passages in John, Jesus beautifully says, "I am the door, I am the way, I am the truth," but he doesn't take a vine and say, "This is my body." He doesn't take a door and say, "This is my body." But in the case of the sacrament, we see that he takes the bread and says, "This is my body." He takes the blood, he takes the wine and says, "This is my bread." There's a completely different literal sense to the passage in Matthew 26. Then you have the metaphors that Jesus is piling up to communicate essential truths about himself in the Gospel of John. I would reply in that manner.
I've heard this this question many times. In fact, in a recent article I wrote called "Responding to Real Absence Arguments," I addressed it, and in a very simple form, when Jesus uses the phrase, "I am the door," to take that for an example, the metaphorical element is not the verb "is" or "I am." The metaphorical element is the word "door." He is the door in some sense. He is, in fact, the door to salvation. That doesn't mean he is a piece of wood on hinges.
Right.
But the metaphorical element is "door." And in order to draw a parallel between that and the words, "This is my body," one cannot argue that the metaphorical element is the verb "is." One would have to argue that the metaphorical element would be body. And then you've got a worse question than when you begin. Then you say, well, if it isn't his body and it isn't bread, then what the heck is it? I think it's easier to take Jesus in his plain and literal sense, especially when he holds in his hand that which he is talking about. When we come back, we'll be talking more about the Lord's Supper, and we'll hear again this hymn, "What is This Bread?" If you'd like to receive a free tape of this two-hour broadcast on the Lord's Supper, all you have to do is contact the local church that sponsors Issues, Etc. They'll send you a free cassette recording. Get a pen and a piece of paper ready, because you should hear an announcement with a phone number and a mailing address for your local church sponsor right after the Issues, Etc. close theme. When we come back, 10 more minutes with Dr. Fred Bowie. By the way, you can read that article that I talked about, "Responding to Real Absence Arguments," on our website at issuesetc.org. It clears up a lot of other questions about the Lord's Supper as well. issuesetc.org. When you get there, click on the "What's New" section. You'll find that article. It's called "Responding to Real Absence Arguments." Dr. Fred Bowie is our guest. The Lord's Supper hymn, "What is This Bread," is our subject.
Grace, Faith, Scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Do you know God's will for your daily life? Is God's will a mystery? Do we need to look for a sign from God to know what to do at any given moment? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. I've written an article in the latest edition of the Issues Etc. Journal titled Locus and Focus, God's Will for Your Daily Life. The recent issue also contains a review of Armageddon, the latest in the Left Behind series, and Aaron Wolf details his spiritual journey to the Reformation from the legalism of evangelicalism. His article is titled A Beggar on the Wittenberg Trail. Plus, you'll find a list of tape and book resources. You can receive the next edition of the Issues Etc. Journal by calling our resource line, 1-800-737-0172, 1-800-737-0172, or write Issues Etc. Journal, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Folks, we take our task here on Issues Etc. very seriously. We've summed it up with a simple phrase that we defend the faith and we teach the truth of God's Word. Now, one of the ways that we teach is what you hear every week. We talk with guests about various issues pertaining to the Word of God. Another way, and this is, again, but one way that we endeavor to teach the truth of God's Word, and that is through something like this in this hour, a hymn study whereby we are teaching the truths of God's Word regarding the Lord's Supper through a hymn, like What Is This Bread? Now, if you enjoy these hymn studies, please consider supporting Issues Etc. by becoming a monthly contributor. This is something new we've got for you. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift as well. Find out how you could become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, or reformer by going to our website. That's our monthly plan, issuesetc.org. Click on the What's New section there, or you can also see page 8 of the latest issue of the Issues Etc. Journal. You can also support this worldwide outreach by making a credit card donation. Our toll-free resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. You can also donate by check. Issues ETC, I'm sorry, our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117, or you can donate online, issuesetc.org. Let's go back to the phones. Joe is calling from Cleveland. He's listening on WHK. Joe, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, hi.
Hi, Joe.
Okay, my question is, I'm a Catholic. Now, we believe that it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. I was wondering if that differs. And the other thing is, we also believe in Eucharistic adoration. And I was wondering if that was also something that you participate in or not. I'll hang up and listen.
It's a very good question. There are two things that I'm going to ask you to handle them in 1 minute, Fritz.
Well, I keep reading this passage all over and over again, but it's so rich and full of meaning. Jesus took the bread, and he said, take, eat, this is my body. He didn't say, take this and adore it. He said, take and eat it, this is my body. The same with the cup. He said, drink of it, all of you. He didn't say, adore the cup of wine. He said, this is for you to eat and to drink.
What about this, and it seems connected, what about the notion of body, blood, and he said soul and divinity? What does God's Word have to say regarding this?
Well, God's Word just simply says that the bread is the body and the wine is the blood. It doesn't go any farther than that.
So where God's Word remains silent, we should remain silent as well? Where it speaks, we should speak?
That's correct. I had a friend of mine, a formerly Roman Catholic priest, become Lutheran a minister who explained that the foundation of Roman Catholic theology is not Scripture alone. It also has reason and the word of the Pope and tradition and the writings of the Church Fathers, and those are often contradictory. So there may be a little Aristotle mixed up in that particular view of the Lord's Supper.
The hymn we've been studying, What Is This Bread? We've heard it stanza by stanza and talked about it a bit. Now let's hear the entire hymn. What is this bread?
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's Supper hymn, What Is This Bread?, performed by the adult choir of St. Paul Lutheran Church in De Pere, Missouri, under the direction of Mark Bender, who is also at the piano this evening, the violinist, Holly Eichmann, and our soloist this evening for one of the stanzas, Jean Bowie. Folks, we will be continuing to take your phone calls on the subject of the Lord's Supper for Dr. Fred Bowie live in the next hour at 1-800-730-2727. We will let you stay on the line to hear the response to your question or your comment, 1-800-730-2727. You can post your question or your comment as well on the Issues Etc. forum, issuesetc.org, under the What's New section. Click on that, you'll find the forum. Now, the best callers with a question or a comment for Dr. Bowie in the next hour will receive a book titled The Lord's Supper by Martin Chemnitz. 1-800-730-2727. 1-800-730-2727. Now, you won't be able to listen to the next hour on the radio. It's only on the internet. Go to our website where you can listen, issuesetc.org. Click on the worldwide KFUO logo, and you'll be able to listen there. Issuesetc.org. Click on the worldwide KFUO logo. We're coming to you live this Sunday evening. It's November the 2nd. Give us a call during this break if you're getting a busy signal. Please keep trying. We'll be freeing up phone lines right on the other side of the break when we resume our conversation on the Lord's Supper with Dr. Fred Bowie, 1-800-730-2727. There is so much comfort in the Lord's Supper, and it comes from the word of Christ himself. This is why he gave it to his disciples, after all. Isn't that true? He gave it to them and to us to comfort us. They were going to witness his suffering. They were going to witness his death. They were going to witness his burial. He wanted to tell them, in the very last hours before it all occurred, what really was going to happen. What he was really going to be doing there in that suffering, in that death. And then what lay ahead 3 days later in his resurrection. And he gave them by pledge and promise a word that could be no surer because it comes from Jesus himself, the very one who hung on the cross. He said to them of this bread, "This is my body. It's given for you for the forgiveness of sins. This is my blood. It's poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins." When they saw him again raised from the dead and he appeared to them in the breaking of bread, they knew that the promise was true, that the one who had died was now alive, that the forgiveness that he had purchased at the cross was now theirs, and they knew where they could find that forgiveness, Sunday after Sunday. There from the Lord's hand with the Lord's word itself, "This is my body for you, this is my blood shed for you, it's for your forgiveness." Those are Christ's words. Hang on to them. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues, Etc. to continue. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Or you can donate by credit card on our resource line, 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Visit us this week on the World Wide Web. Our website address, issuesetc.org, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod.